How and when did you first realize that your skin color might be an issue with other people?
I had mostly Caucasian friends, and there would be like moments when they would like say stuff to me in like high school, mostly freshman year. I realized that was different because they would point things out, maybe like in my skin tone, or they would ask me questions that they wouldn't ask other people. And they weren't necessarily mean, but they weren't necessarily something that you would ask anybody on a random day.
Do you recall how that struck you?
I know I asked my mom a lot of stuff because a lot of my friends are nice. It's just that they would ask me questions that I didn't think were necessarily appropriate. So it just made me feel separated for them, like, because I never thought of them as anything but a friend, like, and I never thought of them by their skin color. So it like kind of made the space in between me and my friend group in high school when they would ask certain questions to me, or they would say certain things, and maybe I would say, maybe you shouldn't say that to other people, and they would maybe get offended, and I would be really confused, because if they're your friend, that I would dream that they're not supposed to, like, if you tell them you shouldn't say something because they could offend somebody else of your skin color, you would think that they wouldn't get offended themselves and say, well, I wasn't even trying to be like that, and I was overreacting. So I would just feel separated, and it would make me not want to talk to them about anything that I was dealing with and stuff.
Has that been repaired at all?
One example was one of my friends that I ended up going to church with. It was repaired, like, over time. Like, at first, like, she grew up in a very conservative household, and so when we met each other at church, it was like she would ask me questions that shouldn't be asked and would say stuff, and our friendship grew because she was willing to learn stuff. So that one was repaired, because at first I didn't want to be friends with her because she would just say stuff that was mean, but she didn't know it. A lot of my other ones, I think I just like would let it slide, but it would end up bothering me in the long term, knowing that they still thought like that. And if I ever said something to them, they would just get mad at me for even saying something to them about it.
Wow.
Yeah, most of them did, or most of them would just apologize, but then it would come up again. But there is a select few that I remember that, like, never apologize, just would actually try to justify their reason for what they believe.
This is in context to the last person I just talked to, who his wife is white, and he says most of his friends, like you, were white, at least in high school. He went to normal community. He said he was always feeling like he had to try to fit into a white world.
I actually went to Bloomington Junior High, and then we moved. Bloomington Junior High has a pretty big minority rate in general, so when I moved to the Evans Junior High, it was a whole new world. So yeah, I did try to fit in. I changed my hair because I thought my hair for some reason would affect the way that people talk to me. I didn't change my personality, but I was a lot more boxed in. Like, I wasn't necessarily 100% me. And then I also translated to when I went to high school at Normal West, because most of the people I was around were white, and whenever I did something that, like, maybe feels like dancing or said a joke that they didn't relate to, I would always get weird stares. And I don't feel like they're necessarily doing it on purpose, and it wasn't everybody, but there would be times where it just felt so uncomfortable, and I would say something or I would joke about something, and they just look at me like I was crazy. And I understand that they're not going to get every single joke, but like to be stared at like you're crazy, or stared at like because they don't get it to a certain way, it just can come off like unwelcoming, and I don't even know if they realize that.
Can you talk about the conversations you have with your parents and how maybe the concern they are for you?
Well, for me, I was just always taught to do everything they say and not to question. Even though you have a right to, you shouldn't do it because it can cause conflict, and that's the last thing you want. I mean, they talked about it more with my brother than me, because it affects black males more than it does black women. And so for my brother, he was taught to always have his hands on the wheel, to make sure nothing's in your pocket, to actually like take your wallet out of your pocket before they come up to your window, so there's nothing that you have to grab that they can't see. And I know that was grained into his brain. My brother is a really good person, so you wouldn't think that anything would happen to him, but you know, things happen.
Do you mind talking about what happened?
Me and my brother are both a part of a Christian organization on campus, and he was going home from practice, and I had already left, and he had turned onto a road and had just happened to pass a cop, and he had looked at him, and then the cop pulled him over and said that he had did an incomplete stop at a stop sign, even though I know like where they turn out at. There is no way that he did that. And then when he pulled over, he pulled him over on a major street. So he asked if he could go into a parking lot. They ended up calling three more officers to the scene for a stopping ticket. I don't know. Like, I know some people don't think about it, but like after that, after he had called me about that, like I just think in my head, like there could have been a good chance that my brother could have been gone. And it's a weird reality because I don't always think about it, but like, it took me a second after that because I was trying to figure out why he was so angry. And then, like, I really sat down and thought about, like, it doesn't take three cops for a traffic stop. And he wasn't getting searched for anything. There is no, like, drugs involved. Like, that was not it. I guess the cop felt maybe threatened by him. And they needed three more cop cars there. And it just makes it look even worse to anybody that's driving by. Because you just see one black male for a traffic stop and you see three cop cars and that just never looks good. And I just always think about, like, if he would have maybe acted differently, he could have been gone. And that's just a weird reality that black people have to deal with. And that's why we're taught the way we are taught, because you never know when that moment's going to come and you want to try to avoid it no matter what.
You hear from a lot of law enforcement officers, don't do that. Just do what we ask you to do and everything will be fine.
I just look at the news and you see so many examples of how law enforcement can not protect people. Like, you just see how many times it happens. Like, it happens too many times for it just to be a coincidence. It happens too many times for it just to be the person's fault, especially to people of color. I personally still believe that the law enforcement's there to protect. I just believe that you have to be cautious because you never know who is a bad person, and you will never know. I mean, overall, I know that they're good people, but sometimes there's so many, it only takes one person to mess that up.
When George Floyd was, when he died in police custody, and with all the protests and things that are going on right now, how have you been processing all of this in the last couple of weeks?
It's been really hard to process because, like, when the George Floyd killing happened, it was like one thing happened right after another, and there's like four more things that happened after that. So it's just a lot of things coming at you at once. Processing it was a lot, especially with social media, because there was so much on social media, and it was so confusing because the information people were handing out, people were bringing up different cases that happened years ago to try to add more to the fire, and it was just a lot to the point where I just didn't want to go on social media anymore. But it was also a processing, which I found a lot of my friends that were not of my skin color were also like supporting me and calling me, which had never happened before. Like, people that I didn't really talk to that much reach out to me, which meant more than they will probably ever know, and asking me if I was okay. And all I could tell them is that I was good for what was happening right now in the world, because it was just so much to process that I didn't even know whether to say I was fine, because I thought I was fine, but I would like just feel almost to a point like numb to some of the stuff that was going on.
Why does this time seem to be different as far as how especially white people are reacting?
I was talking to my friends the other day about how things have changed. Like, there might not have been a change in maybe laws, and I was 12 when some of this stuff happened, so. But, like, there might not have been a lot of change in laws, but I think there's a lot of change in heart. A lot more people saw evidence, like, about what was happening to African Americans or people of color when it came to police brutality, because they're on Facebook, they're on YouTube, and when you see that, you can't really ignore it anymore. And once you see proof, you're like, well, I've never been treated that way, and no one should ever be treated that way. And when you see people being treated that way, you want to do something about it, because you now see proof of somebody who did absolutely nothing necessarily wrong, and they get attacked because somebody felt threatened of their skin color, and they're like, that's not right. And I truly believe social media has helped some of my white friends see, or some of people that are just older than me, just show proof of what's actually happening in the world. And now that they see it, now that they can physically see it, and now that they physically see evidence, they're like, we need to change this because this shouldn't be going on. I didn't see it before, but they see it now. There's a lot more support now for things like the Black Lives Matter movement than there was like in 2014. The growth that I've seen, people supporting Black lives or minority lives in general, it's grown so much over from what I've seen in my years that I have seen a change in that. And when that changes, then laws have to change, because when so many people support something, something has to come of that.
You'll hear from white people that you're playing the race card when someone brings up a legitimate issue, but no, you're playing the race card. What does that do to you?
It degrades everything, because I know that I've earned stuff in my life, and there's been people that believe that the only reason why I got it was because I was Black. I was a leader in different things in high school and college, and people have told me that the only reason why I got it is because they needed to check off a box. And I just think that's so degrading, because I work 2 times harder than most people to get what I get in life, because there's so many things that go against me, so many things that I went through when I was a kid that I still fight through today. And people like to degrade that fact by just saying, oh, it's because you're this. Or when it comes to playing the race card, you're just saying that because you're Black and to get attention.
If you were in charge of framing the conversation that we seem to be having finally on race, is there anything you would do differently, or how would you do it?
I would be open to any questions and answering questions to make sure that people of color, people not of color, feel welcome to ask questions that they have. Because that's a big thing that I've dealt with, is people were too scared to ask questions that they were actually wondering about, and they felt that they would get attacked. And honestly, they would get attacked for some of the questions that I've been asked. I just think people of color just have to be willing to answer questions that we might deem as just not smart, and not realizing that people actually have those questions. Because I've definitely been asked stuff that I didn't think anybody would ask, but in reality, they actually wanted to answer that question.
Can you give an example? Or a few examples, maybe? Because you mentioned that early on, too, that your friends in, I don't know if it was junior high or something, were asking you questions you didn't think was appropriate.
Some of the stuff, like, about my hair, like, if you can touch my hair. And people have actually, like, there was a time in high school somebody touched my hair without even asking me, and then I did it back, and they looked at me like I was crazy. So, I mean, but, like, a big one was, like, in high school, somebody asked me why African-Americans get like award for being African American and graduating high school. And when, like, you look at that question, you would probably think, wow, that's not a smart question to ask. But, like, if you really think about it, she was actually really wondering, and everybody was yelling at her, but she truly didn't know. And after we had our conversation, she was like, it was completely different, because I told her that Black African Americans, depending on where you lived, you didn't graduate, you didn't go to college. There was this, statistics were really low on African Americans going to college, and I was trying to explain to her that it's not necessary just for them, but you got to think that their grandparents might not have went to college, and now they get to, or their grandparents might not have graduated high school, and now they get to see their grandchildren graduate. They get to see them do that, and you don't realize, and now they're getting honored for that because their grandparents didn't get that opportunity, maybe. Their parents might not have given that opportunity. And when you go to college, you'd be surprised how many people you meet that are first-generation college students. So when they get that little ribbon, maybe it's just a little ribbon to some people, or the ropes, I mean, it means a lot to be an African-American graduating high school, knowing that some of my family won't graduate high school, some of my family won't even go to college. And getting that recognition just gives me more confidence, or more... it inspires me to just continue my education and continue to grow, knowing that I've gotten this far. They gave me an award for it. They've recognized me for overcoming the odds for my skin color. And so after we talked about that, she was like, that makes a lot more sense. But instead of yelling at her and saying that that question was dumb, they deserve what they to get a ribbon, she now understood the background of it, and that opens her eyes to what she didn't see before.